From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Delighted that you've joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues his series of studies in the book of Joshua as he brings part two of a message called The Scandal of Defeated Christians. Dr. Cairns will be with us shortly. First, we invite your attention to this devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Morning by Morning. This morning's text is found in Acts chapter 18 and verse 10. I have much people in this city. This should be a great encouragement to try to do good, since God has among the vilest of the vile, the most reprobate, the most debauched and drunken, an elect people who must be saved. When you take the word to them, you do so because God has ordained you to be the messenger of life to their souls, and they must receive it, for so the decree of predestination runs. They are as much redeemed by blood as the saints before the eternal throne. They are Christ's property, and yet perhaps they are lovers of the alehouse and haters of holiness. But if Jesus Christ purchased them, He will have them. God is not unfaithful to forget the price which His Son has paid. He will not suffer His substitution to be in any case an ineffectual dead thing. Tens of thousands of redeemed ones are not regenerated yet, but regenerated they must be. And this is our comfort when we go forth to them with the quickening Word of God. Nay more, these ungodly ones are prayed for by Christ before the throne. Neither pray I for these alone, saith the great intercessor, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. Poor ignorant souls, they know nothing about prayer for themselves, but Jesus prays for them. Their names are on His breastplate, and ere long they must bow their stubborn knee, breathing the penitential sigh before the throne of grace. The time of figs is not yet. The predestinated moment has not struck, but when it comes, they shall obey, for God will have His own. They must, for the Spirit is not to be withstood when He cometh forth with fullness of power. They must become the willing servants of the living God. My people shall be willing in the day of My power. He shall justify many. He shall see of the travail of his soul. I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong.
His glories make known.
Proclaim His mercy, His love to His own.
Gratefully magnify God and King. Joyfully let praises ring. Let
At this season of the year, the thoughts of God's people turn with special emphasis to the miracle of the Incarnation, the incomprehensible truth of Emmanuel, God with us. To assist you in meditating upon the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ into the world, we're happy to offer a unique publication called The 12 Days of Christmas. Written by Roger Ellsworth, an experienced minister and writer, The 12 Days of Christmas is a small paperback book containing 24 devotions, each including a short scripture reading, several paragraphs, and a concluding to think about section that draws lines of application from the text to modern day life. The book is intended to help the hearts and minds of believers to focus on the wonder of the Incarnation, as well as to encourage unbelievers to come in repentance and faith to Christ. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to make this inspirational booklet available free of charge to our listening audience. You may have a copy simply by contacting us by phone, email, or regular mail. You may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Again, that's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We encourage you to request your free copy of The 12 Days of Christmas while supplies last. In verse 8 of chapter 7 of the book of Joshua, following Israel's defeat at Ai, Joshua is on his face before God, crying out in dismay, "O Lord, what shall I say when Israel turneth their backs before their enemies?" In his introduction to this message, Dr. Cairns pointed out that this cry to God revealed Joshua's spiritual sensitivity in the circumstance. It is an attitude that all of God's people should manifest when either they themselves or their churches are suffering spiritual defeat. In applying the passage to individual Christians and to the church at large, Dr. Cairns emphasized that the gospel of Jesus Christ gives power to believers to live in victory over the circumstances of life. He declared that this victory is to be the normal Christian life. It isn't for just some spiritual elite. For saints of God to live in defeat silences any effective Christian witness. For how can the ungodly find any confidence in such poor representatives of the gospel? Now to continue this message, the scandal of defeated Christians, here is Dr. Cairns.
There's victory for the Christian over sin. There's victory for the Christian over Satan. We read that they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Revelation 12:11. They overcame the old serpent, the devil, by the blood of the Lamb. Thank God we're not called to battle the devil and his powers in the power of the flesh, in the arm of man. We're called to do so on the ground of the victory of Calvary. Satan is a defeated foe. He can go no further than the sovereign purpose of God permits him. And he has to have permission for every step that he takes. Our God is the King. Let's get rid of this ancient dualism, as it's called, that has made its way into so much Christian theology. You'd imagine there were two great potentates out there, God and the devil, and they're locked in mortal combat. And we're not too sure how the battle's going to turn out, but we're cheering for God anyway. Let me tell you, that's nonsense. There is no truth that there are two ultimate powers out there. There is but one ultimate power. It's the power of our God. Satan is his creature, and Satan will do his command. Let's never forget that. Our God's on the throne. He hasn't moved over to make room for somebody else beside him. God alone is on the throne. He gives us power over Satan. It's true not only for the individual Christian, it's true for the whole church. The church of Christ should be going onward. It's called to be a victorious church. It's called to be like, as Solomon put it, an army with banners. Terrible as an army with banners. The church of Christ has such a calling that when it meets, the powers of hell should tremble. When it prays, the powers of hell should tremble. Remember the oft-quoted illustration of John Knox coming back to Scotland to lead the tiny church of the redeemed of the Lord in that land? When Mary, Queen of Scots, with all the power of the French army threatening that vulnerable little country, was on the throne. She had all the trappings of political and royal power, but she said, "I fear the prayers of John Knox more than 10,000 soldiers." That's the calling of the Church of Christ. That's the calling of the Church of Christ. We can say with 2 Chronicles 32, the famous words of Hezekiah, "With him is an arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us, and he'll fight our battles for us." My, that conviction should go with the Church of Christ and carry it forward. Jesus said to his disciples, "You shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you." Oh, how easily sidetracked the church has become. It's looking for political power. It's looking for economic clout. It's looking for all these things. When all the time, Jesus said, it's spiritual power you need. You could have political power and not do that much for God. You could have millions in the bank as a church and do nothing for God. But if you have the power of the Holy Ghost, there's nothing in heaven, earth, or hell can stop the church of Jesus Christ. In that condition, even its apparent defeats are really victories. We read of a time in Revelation 15, verse 2, when some of the choicest saints on earth will be put to death by the anti-Christian forces in the last time. I saw, as it were, a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had, notice the wording, them that had gotten the victory over the beast and over his image and over his mark. Do you notice they had gotten, now they had been put to death, but they had gotten the victory. They had stood when others were falling. They had taken the name of Christ when others were taking the name of Antichrist. When many crowds were being swept along by this false Christ, they had taken their stand and were faithful even unto death. And through it all, they got the victory. Oh, let me tell you, whatever the circumstances, however strong the opposition, the Church of Christ must be going forward. After all, we serve the all-conquering Christ. He is the one whom John saw in his vision in Revelation 6 and verse 2 on a white horse. And he had a bow and a crown was given unto him. And listen to the description of the Savior. He went forth conquering and to conquer. This is the same Jesus who said to his disciples not long before his ascension, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." The Church of Christ should be going forward. There's no reason why we shouldn't. We are called to spiritual fullness. Paul prayed for the Ephesians that God would grant them, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by the Holy Spirit in the inner man. And then he prayed that they might be filled with all the fullness of God. Listen, filled with all the fullness of God is the guarantee of victory. Let's understand this. Now, I want to make something clear to you. What I'm talking about this morning from God's Word is not something special among Christians. It's the normal Christian life. Oh, how far we have drifted in these days. The kind of thing about now comes over in the circumstances in which we find ourselves. In the backslidden state into which the church has fallen. What I'm talking about this morning comes over like some sort of second blessing, Keswick message of some special elite among God's people. But it's not. This is the normal Christian life. This is what every child of God is called to. And every Church of Christ is called to. These are the promises that attend the calling for all of us. Spiritual defeat is a scandal. Let's understand that. I don't say spiritual battling, having to battle the world and battle the flesh and battle the devil is a scandal. That's not true. I don't say that being brought to tears and to feel the pain of the battle is a scandal. That also would be untrue. But what I say is to turn tail and run in the day of battle. That's a scandal. To be going backwards instead of forwards. That's a scandal. To be living in sin instead of holiness. That's a scandal. To be less in love with Christ than we were when we were saved, that's a scandal. To be less committed to the cause of Christ than we used to be, that's a scandal. To be less useful to God than once we were, that is an utter scandal. with our spiritual position, with our spiritual possessions, we should be living in the victory. Because the church or a Christian that's in retreat is a shame and a scandal to the name he bears. We are called to victory. The second thing I can note from the text is that failure to live in victory silences all effective witness. Failure to live in victory silences all effective witness. Joshua says, "Lord, what shall I say? When Israel turneth their backs before their enemies." You can see that there's a very plain connection between the ability to witness and the walk of holiness and victory. There's a plain connection between witnessing and holiness. In Malachi chapter 2, in verse 6, we read of Levi. The law of truth was in his mouth, and iniquity was not found in his lips. He walked with me in peace and equity. Now listen. And did turn many away from iniquity. The power of his witness went hand in hand with his walk with God. And I tell you, when God's people are not living in the victory of Christian holiness and spiritual power, they shut their mouths. They take away the effectiveness of their Christian witness. What shall we say to sinners who are crushed by the power of Satan and sin if we ourselves are living in defeat? How can we go to people who are bound in chains and say, "I have good news for you. There's victory, there's liberation, there's salvation, there's freedom in Christ"? And they look at our lives and we're bound by the same chains. How can we go to the prison house of sin and liberate those who are in prison if we ourselves are bound? What shall we say to sinners crushed by sin when we're living in defeat? How shall we storm the strongholds of the devil if we ourselves are defeated by his power? You remember the words of the Lord Jesus. He said that the strong man's goods are in peace. And that's the way they're going to stay. Until one who is stronger than the strong man comes in and despoils him. If we are not stronger than the strong man, if we are not stronger than Satan and the grip that he holds on souls, we can never storm his strongholds. We can never despoil his goods. How can we do it if he's already got us defeated? How can we inflict defeat on him? Indeed, how shall we even pray so that God will hear us? Joshua uttered these words of our text in prayer. "Lord, what shall I say? My mouth is closed. My tongue is silent. What can I say? How can I pray? We're in defeat. We're in retreat. Prayer seems a mockery in the condition in which we are." I wonder this morning, I say all this, does God put His finger in your heart? I wonder today, is there a conviction in your own soul? I not only do not have, but I cannot have any meaningful witness for Christ. I cannot be a threat to any stronghold of hell. I cannot even pray, because my life is going backwards spiritually. I've lost out with God. I'm living the scandal of a Christian in retreat.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.